You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. The Word of God is alive by His Spirit. All these things were written for our admonition and for our example, upon whom the ends of the world have come. Howling from Chittim, that's what I'm going to do. Some howling from Chittim. And what I'm really going to do is simply read two little books. One only 21 verses, called Obadiah. Then I'm going to read Zephaniah, just three little chapters. Both books written about 2,600 years ago, and you will see it was written for now. I hope your faith will be confirmed. I hope you'll understand how even the things that we see happening, which cause us to mourn, are to confirm our faith. I hope you understand why Yeshua said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. I know you understand that He is God Almighty. I know you understand that He is going to do a quick work, and it's going to be His strange work when He rises up in wrath, in fury. It's a strange work for Him whose name is called the Word of God. And it's a cause for serious concern by all people of faith. But the heart cry of Him who is our King and our Lord and our Savior and the rock of our salvation, the one whose name is called the Word of God, His heart cry is, when He returns, will He find faith on the earth? And I want you to see, I pray that the Holy Spirit will give you ears to hear as I just read Obadiah and Zephaniah, how God had to write this book, how God had to inspire these prophets to speak these things 2,600 years ago, how God had to superintend the writing of it and the preservation of it, giving it to the Jews who faithfully preserved it with much blood shed over 2 millennia, and how that God did indeed purify it 7 times. You will understand the times explicitly if you use the Holy Bible. And I don't care if you've got a degree in logistics engineering. There is a logical disconnect if you don't understand that we have the Word of God, that we have the Word of God. And people are always going to come up a day late and a dollar short trying to understand the times if they don't understand that God promised a Holy Bible. And that we have the Word of God, that we have the Word of God. For you precious brethren who have sustained us and encouraged us and loved us tangibly, in reality. He didn't just say, oh, here's a flattering word for you, be warmed and filled. Because this is what we were sent to do. Howl from Chittim. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. I pray you have ears to hear these words from Obadiah and Zephaniah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. The book of Obadiah. The vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom, we have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen, thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves come to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom, and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed, to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off for ever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother, in the day that he became a stranger, neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually, yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them, and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining in the house of Esau for the Lord hath spoken it. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath. And the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. And the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. The book of Zephaniah. The word of the Lord, which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah, and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that swear by the Lord, and that swear by Malcham. And them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired for him, hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God. For the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid his guests, and it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. In the same day also I will punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be a noise of a cry from the fish gate, and an howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills. How, ye inhabitants of Maktesh! For all the merchant people are cut down, all they that bear silver are cut off, and it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles, and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Therefore their goods shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. The great day of the Lord is near, it is near, and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by fire, the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree, bring forth. Before the day, pass as a chaff. Before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you. Before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, seek ye the Lord. All ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. For Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. Woe unto the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of the Cherethites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will even destroy thee, and there shall be no inhabitant. And the seacoast shall be dwellings and cottages for shepherds and folds for flocks. And the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. And they shall feed thereupon. In the houses of Ashkelon shall they lie down in the evening, for the Lord their God shall visit them and turn away their captivity. I have heard the reproach of Moab and the revilings of the children of Ammon, whereby they have reproached my people and magnified themselves against their border. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be as Sodom, and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah, even the breeding of nettles in salt pits, and a perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall spoil them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. This shall they have for their pride, because they have reproached and magnified themselves against the people of the Lord of hosts. The Lord will be terrible unto them, for he will famish all the gods of the earth, and the men shall worship him every one from his place, even all the isles of the heathen, ye Ethiopians also. Ye shall be slain by my sword. And he will stretch out his hand against the north and destroy Assyria, and will make Nineveh a desolation and dry like a wilderness. And flocks shall lie down in the midst of her, and the beasts of the nations, both the cormorant and the bittern, shall lodge in the upper lintels of it. Their voice shall sing in the wilderness. Desolation shall be in the thresholds, for he shall uncover the cedar work. This is the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly, that said in her heart, I am, and there is none beside me. How is she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down in? Everyone that passes by her shall hiss and wag his head. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the marrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. I have cut off the nations, their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste, that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man, that there is none inhabitant. I said, surely thou wilt fear me, thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off, howsoever I punished them. But they rose early and corrupted all their doing. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed, for all thy doings wherein thou hast transgressed against me, for then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies. Neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgment, he hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not. And to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was not a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time I will bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. To reward terrorists with a state of their own is folly. And to give away the land that God promised the Jews as an everlasting possession is an unholy act and very dangerous. This is a most serious offense to God Almighty, who spoke the universe into being by the power of His Word. This particular act of giving away the mountains of Israel to the enemies of Israel is the very act which God Almighty has said by way of His prophet Ezekiel will cause His fury, the fury of God Almighty, His strange work, rising up in wrath, will cause his fury to come up in his face. We should consider what is not only very dangerous, but in fact, the most dangerous act. Think about this. This is the most dangerous act that any human or nation could possibly conceive. It is to do that which would cause the fury of God Almighty to come up in his face. Ezekiel 38:16-19 says, "And thou shalt come up against my people Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days. And I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus saith the Lord God, Art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel." The three protagonists which Scripture sets up that are the primary components of human history right through the prophetic end-time events are Israel, Ishmael, and Edom. Israel, Ishmael, and Edom. And these refer to specific people, spiritual and religious beliefs, and nations or nation groups. And most today have no idea who Edom is. Esau, the twin brother of Jacob, had his name changed to Edom. The most recognizable religion of Esau or Edom is Islam. The religion is based upon the ancient hatred. The religion is based upon hate and killing of people of the book. That is, Jews and real Christians who know they are part of Jacob and must stand with the Jews. Mark it down. The Antichrist world loves Edom because God Almighty said, "Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated." Edom also represents a particular nation or nation group throughout history. Obadiah tells us what the Lord describes of Edom. If you have not read Obadiah recently, if you haven't studied it, just do it. It's only one chapter. You heard it. It's just one chapter of only 21 verses. Esau, or Edom, is first lowly and then soaring like the eagle. How many nations, even today, have nests in the stars? As I recall, only the United States and Russia have major space stations. The bear and the eagle. Esau, who despised his birthright, you remember the birthright of America was to found a nation for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian religion. That was the birthright. And Esau despised his birthright just as America today is despising its birthright. Esau, who despised his birthright, was therefore hated by God. Esau, or Edom, ultimately will be brought down. "The pride of Edom's heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, Who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord." The eagle was a symbol of both Rome and the United States. And there is a definite link between Edom and Rome and the nation states which emerged from Rome. The Idumeans, which were a tribe of people also known as Herodians, were puppets of the Roman Empire. they were installed specifically to rule Israel. The Idumeans, the Edomites, the descendants of Esau, also had a genetic link to Rome. And maybe why they were selected by Rome to assist in controlling and restraining the Jews, in suppressing them. Edom represents Rome, the Roman Empire, and the nations emerging from Rome. And basically, this would be the entire continent of Europe, including Russia, but also it includes England and America. And today's king of Babylon, we don't like this, but whoever conquered Babylon, whoever conquered Saddam Hussein is today's king of Babylon. I'm sorry, I don't like it either. But today's king of Babylon is the one who conquered Saddam Hussein. And who would today perhaps seem to be the most powerful and influential leader of Edom. Yeah, it hurts me too. Russia and the Antichrist-controlled mass media do all they can to promote the myth of the U.S. being the world's only superpower. The king of Babylon is not all, but at least for today, that is right now today as I am putting this together, right now today, and that could change in a hurry. This same one today, today's king of Babylon, this same one could also, in another way, be seen to actually be Gog from the land of Magog. As of this moment, that would also be the USA and Barack Hussein Obama. In Ezekiel 38:2, the English word that is used to describe Gog is prince, and the word Rosh is also used, which means head or chief. Gog is the chief leader of this coalition. The word in Hebrew, which translates as prince, is Nasi. And in modern Hebrew, Nasi is translated as, believe it or not, president. Oh yes, the modern Hebrew word Nasi is today president. And also a primary elected leader, not a dictator or tyrant. At this moment in Israel, Barack Hussein Obama is Obama Hanasi. And President Putin is Putin Hanasi. The fact that Ezekiel was writing of events 2,600 years in the future, so explicitly speaking of a president that should cause one, brethren, that should cause us to have faith. And to know that the King James Version Holy Bible was written at God's inspiration outside of linear time. Gog is described as being from the land of Magog. Now, I find no fault with those, and to an extent fully share the understanding that the leader Gog is Russian. But, as of today, we have to be open to another perspective. Now, this could change quickly. Now, we do know that Magog's descendants settled in areas of Russia and Asia. And yet, until Russia nukes America, brethren, Barack Hussein Obama may also be seen to be from the land of Magog. How's that? Well, I had a friend, Howard, recently brought this to my attention. It is, brethren, a historical, anthropological, and genetic fact with positive DNA evidence that people who populated Alaska and North America migrated from Asia. Over the centuries, these descendants of Magog migrated south into warmer climates and ultimately settled in various regions of North America. And we should therefore see this other possibility that Ezekiel is also making perfect sense to say, as Howard pointed out, you chief prince, president of the world, I will call you Gog because you are really from the land of Magog. You are from the land that your ancestors usurped and stole from Magog, and that is his descendants. And yet now, with that history, you come against my people who have been returned to their covenant land? You have a plan, a roadmap, hooks in the jaws, to give over the land of my people, when in fact you are on Magog's land? You are Gog from Magog. Yes, indeed. God had to inspire the prophets to speak and write, and the Jews to preserve his word outside of linear time. There's no other intellectually honest conclusion. You see it explicitly in that promise, seventh purification of his word, in the only Holy Bible, in the King James Version Holy Bible. Otherwise, there are only bits and pieces, and you'll always come up a day late and a dollar short in hearing what God's true prophets are saying to his people now. People of faith who have studied to show themselves approved unto God on this vital subject know we have the Word of God, that we have the Word of God in that King James Version Holy Bible. Otherwise, regardless of how intelligent somebody may be, even if they have a degree in logistical engineering, one has a logical disconnect not to know we have the Word of God, that we have the Word of God, because God said so. If you sit under the teaching of any teacher not using the King James Version Holy Bible as he teaches, you will be misled, no matter how great the intelligence and our so-called anointing may be. People of faith in these last days should know better than to be so misled. God has not forsaken his people Israel. The roadmap, it's a roadmap of peace and safety. See what 1 Thessalonians says about that. 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says that it is a roadmap to sudden destruction. In Isaiah 54, starting about verse 6, "For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken." God has not forsaken his people Israel. "For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer." Jews, if you can make Aliyah, just do it now. That's what we ought to be telling every Jew that we have occasion to speak to. Jews, if you can legally make Aliyah without fraud, just do it now, because God said so. Gentiles, all of us Gentiles, better find a way to obey the double imperative command. Yeah, it's a double imperative command of the Lord. Where's a double imperative command of the Lord? There's not many of them, but this is one double imperative command of the Lord. Isaiah 41:2, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. We should not encourage Israel to negotiate with terrorists, and should not reward terrorists by giving them part of the land of the people that they are murdering. I say no to Obama, no to the State Department, no to the EU, no to the quartet, soon to be sextet, no to this plot to create a new Islamic terror state. Anyone and everyone should be against the Antichrist roadmap from hell. Barack Hussein Obama is no friend to Israel. Israel's sovereignty should never be compromised and should be measured according to the scriptures, not the boundaries that men would dare to draw. If Palestinians want their own state, then why not in Saudi Arabia or Jordan or Egypt instead of Israel? Israel and Jerusalem belong to the Jewish people according to the Word of God. The Jews are God's chosen people. No, no, 1,000 times no. The roadmap to hell will not stand. No way will the people of God stand for the roadmap to hell. No one in their right mind would support giving the Palestinians land inside of Israel. The land of Israel belongs to the Jewish people, and any Arab that is there is a squatter. There are too many other Arab countries that can take these people in. And it's time for people who say they are Christians or Jews to say and do something instantly with what they say. There is a commandment of God against taking his name in vain. today, that means bless Israel and help Israel. People who claim to be Christians or Jews better believe wholeheartedly what God's word says. God blesses Israel's friends, but curses those that do harm to Israel. Why? Because God said so. And if you say or think or do otherwise, you are not a real Christian or a real Jew, period. There are no Palestinians. Only Arabs whose state is Jordan, Egypt, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Saudi Arabia, or some other Persian Gulf state. No real Christian or real Jew could be in favor of a PLO state. The only way there can be peace is to get rid of the terrorists in that region. All Arabs who cannot prove from before 1948 to be from families living in the land of Israel as defined by the word of God should be expelled from Israel. Real Christians and real Jews support the state of Israel, which God, the one and only true God, promised to the Jewish people. To believe otherwise puts anyone who would dare to claim to be a Christian in a position of having the wrath of God upon them, because it is unrighteous, anti-Christ, and anti-Torah by definition. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Why would any American, or anyone but an anti-Christ demoniac, favor a state like the one people say needs to be dismantled everywhere else? Just say no to the creation of a Palestinian state within Israel. The land must be kept intact at all costs. Never consider to divide the land without considering how ignorant of what God said that would be. On some things, we can let the ignorant be ignorant. But on this issue, we need to stand with Israel. The PLO has no business whatsoever setting up house in Israel. They just want to further their anti-Christ agenda of killing and destroying all real Jews and real Christians, people of the book, as their religion calls them, before they kill each other. Real Christians and real Jews know God restored the land to Israel as fulfilling prophecy of the Holy Bible. Even people who are not Christians or Jews, even the atheist, should realize that militant Palestinians would not be satisfied with a Palestinian state. Their goal is not only to totally destroy Israel, but to kill every real Jew and Christian on earth. We say no to the roadmap from and to hell. There is so much land in the Middle East where the Palestinians could go. It's appalling that a so-called Christian president could be pushing this roadmap from hell and providing material support for a terrorist state for a people which has a 100% total history of terrorism. No one in their right mind could believe that a PLO state will help calm tensions in the Middle East. The religion of the Palestinians is to kill all Jews and Christians who will not submit to Lucifer, their moon god, and pay them tribute money for the privilege of being allowed to live. No one today can be a Christian who does not support Israel and the Jewish nation. That's strong, but it's the truth. Giving the Palestinian terrorists a taste of what they really want, that being the total destruction of Israel, will only encourage them and give them greater resources, such as a national army with which to launch even greater terror offensives. The word of God is explicit and emphatically clear that the land belongs to the Jews. We ourselves are real commandment observant, Torah observant Christians. Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah, is the I Am who spoke to Moses. For us, the undeniable truth of Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews, born in Bethlehem, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting, is undeniable. He wrote the Ten Commandments in stone for Moses, and has written those same ten instructions of love, life, and liberty on our heart by His Holy Spirit of truth. If the Jews make Aliyah, there is every indication in the Scriptures they will be saved. Who is saved and who is not saved is God's business, with the exception that you can know about the Church of Yeshua in your house, and Jim can know about Jim and the Church of Yeshua in Jim's house. The one thing we do know is that God's judgment is perfect. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. The way of salvation is the same in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. The way of salvation, the way of Yeshua, the way to know the Father is the same way. Finding God's grace in repentance and faith in His atonement, trusting in His mercy, being justified by His grace through faith unto good works. Behold the Lamb of God. Anyone trusting their own religious exercises, their own good works, their own observances of God's commandments, their own or some church's sacramental observances, rather than in the grace and mercy of God to provide Yeshua, to provide salvation and sanctification by His Spirit, is simply wrong. And the consequences of being wrong on that may be an eternal lake of fire known as hell. And God only is the judge regarding who is and who is not saved. Regarding the people alive on planet Earth today, we have a way to know about the salvation of ourselves. And do know God will judge all according to His perfect righteous judgment, which has been committed to the only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is evidenced and proven by obedience. Real faith that honors God and does see the manifestation of His exceeding great mighty power is that faith which hungers to know what God said, with full determination to do what God said, just because God said so, and the rest is phony baloney. The just shall live by faith. Now, I'm going to give you just a few names of the saints upon whom the name of Jesus or Yeshua may never have come from their lips as they lived upon this earth. Yet they died in repentance and in faith that God would provide the necessary means of satisfying the offense to God's holiness of their willful sin. Abel, Enoch, Seth, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Joseph, Moses, we could go on and on. The veil that remains over the eyes of the Jews today is a God-ordained veil soon to be taken away. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us all about it. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The just shall live by faith, not by religious delusion or traditions or doctrines of men which make the Word of God of none effect. There is no way to tell how many Jews know the Lord and are not allowed to speak of it. You and I must speak of Yeshua Jesus. Yet it's different for the Jews. And I know personally that the Lord has told many of them that they cannot speak at all about it to anyone, not even to their wives, until He says, okay. I was at the wall in Jerusalem one night about 2-3 o'clock in the morning. And you can figure the rabbis and yeshiva students there at the wall at that hour were not there to please any man or to do anything to please anybody but the Lord. And they insisted that I join in their prayer minion, even though they had to know I was not a Jew. I had one of those borrowed kippahs, and no Jew would ever have one of those borrowed kippahs, which are required to approach that western wall of the Temple Mount area. And brethren, the Lord opened my ears to understand every word of their Hebrew prayers. All of the rabbis and yeshiva students at the wall at that hour of that night knew Yeshua as well as you or I. They were as full of His Holy Spirit as we are, and maybe more. And we recognized each other as brethren by that one same spirit of truth and holiness, but they cannot talk about it yet. Just wait until the Lord says, okay, on that one day, with what has been bottled up in them for so long, we and everybody in the world should want to listen to what they have to say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. To us real Christians, Jesus, Yeshua, whose name is called the Word of God, is indeed undeniable. We know He is the only Messiah, the only mediator, the only way to the Father, and His atonement is the only acceptable atonement for our willful sin. The message of that letter to all Jews everywhere was meant to be provocative. The Jew must, I say must, somehow get back to the promised land. The letter was designed to be something that any real Christian could give to any Jew to encourage them to make Aliyah. The second purpose would be to perhaps cause the Jew to be moved to ask someone important questions. Someone who obviously has love toward them, and yes, perhaps even to provoke them to ask why real Christians see Yeshua as Messiah being so undeniable. Maybe to provoke them just to ask about the difference between real Christians the Jews can trust and the fake old Christians who the Jews better not trust. If nothing else, the one giving such a letter to the Jew would have to be counted a true and genuine lover of Israel and the God of Israel and His chosen people. And it should serve notice that this peculiar Christian is different than the majority of so-called Christians. Perhaps this Christian is even someone who does know what's going on in this world and how it relates to Jewish people. Perhaps someone who has right answers. And at the very least, someone who has high regard for the law and the prophets and is not a pagan. If the Jews do not make Aliyah now, they are not Torah observant. That is the central message of the letter and why real Christians today should have such a letter ready to give to Jewish people. More than that, our hearts should also be prepared to help them and to bless them in any way we can. The double imperative command of the Lord in Isaiah 40 to comfort His people applies to real Christians today more than ever before. Trusting the apostates of dispensational antinomian 501c3 church la-la land will not be wise for the Jews. And it probably will not be wise for us real Christians either, who will find ourselves in the same not authentically human classification by those bowing to the Pope's global antichrist Roman religion of tolerance. The parallel we see today with Hitler in Nazi Germany is astonishing. At that time, almost everybody calling themselves a Christian in Germany believed Hitler to be the greatest and best of the Christians in Germany. And that parallel of Nazi Germany of the 30s and America today should not be missed. Indeed, the vast majority of so-called evangelicals, as well as all Catholics and all Lutherans, thought Hitler was the greatest Christian in Germany. And people like Corrie Ten Boom were in a very, very small, peculiar minority as real believers in the Word of God are today. Brethren, we're living in a time of strong delusion. We're living in a time when men will not endure sound doctrine. The megachurch leaders of apostate, dispensational, antinomian, 501c3 state church, la-la land should be ashamed. I know some of those big-name leaders of pre-trib la-la land well enough to know that they know better. They should be ashamed of their sellout to this antichrist world of gain is godliness and its pope. Because they know better than the popular best-selling other gospel that they're preaching, they should be ashamed of every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And for this cause, they cannot be trusted. And the Jews need to know that, and we should too. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Regarding Chittim, God sent us to this place. So we've been here 10 years, Muslim hunting for Jesus. I tell you, it's one of the most strategic places on the planet today. And the ships of Chittim
the ships of Chittim, they're moving. They're moving. Now, there is a word that must go forth in the last days from this place. And maybe the word has already gone forth. And, of course, it has to go in the international language of these last days in English. And we're here, and if God wants to use us to bring that word forth, and it may already have been brought forth. He's given us a lot of things to say, that's for sure. But the specific word deals with Isaiah 23:1 regarding the burden of Tyre. That's an interesting thing. Tyre and Sidon used to be islands just off the coast of northern Israel. It was a commercial center of the world. It was the World Trade Center of that time. Today, I think Tyre could be applied to the Twin Towers, the World Trade Center. The burden of Tyre. Howl, ye ships of Tarshish. Now, this is the burden of Tyre. And it says, howl, ye ships of Tarshish. Now, Tarshish is the westernmost part of the world, always was. And in the time of Jonah, when he jumped the ship to get as far away from Nineveh, God told him essentially to go east, and he jumped the ship for Tarshish to go as far west as he could possibly go. Because why was God sending Jonah to Nineveh? Well, Nineveh was the baddest of the bad. That was Babylon. That was the people that skinned their enemies alive in front of the people trying to defend the walls to demoralize them. They were bad. And Jonah really knew God. And he wanted God to blast these guys. What was Jonah's message? 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. So when God told him he wanted him to go to Nineveh, Jonah jumped the ship heading as far west as he could go. I'm sure you understand that today Tarshish is not the British Isles. It was the British Isles in Jonah's day. But in our day, Tarshish is America. Today, you go west of America, you're in the east. You understand that? So today, the westernmost part of the world is America. And Tyre was the World Trade Center. So this is the burden of Tyre. Howl, ye ships of Tarshish, America. America's got the ships. America's the only country that has aircraft carriers. And aircraft carriers in today's war technology is not a very smart thing to have. There are three or four weapon systems that make aircraft carriers sitting ducks. Pray for the sailors on board aircraft carriers. They are in harm's way. Because when this war that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of, which is ready to break loose at any day, of all sailors, those who are on aircraft carriers are in the most vulnerable position. The burden of Tyre, howl, ye ships of Tarshish, for it is laid waste, so that there is no house. No entering in. The ships can't go home. They can't go home. Their ports are destroyed. The burden of Tyre, World Trade Center. Howl, ye ships of Tarshish, for it is laid waste, so that there is no house, no entering in from the land of Chittim. It is revealed to them. This word you just heard came to you from Chittim. And today, the ships of Chittim are the ships of Turkey, because Turkey occupies the northern half of Chittim, and the southern half of Chittim don't have any ships. I can tell you that for sure. They got a couple of patrol boats. That's all they have. But when you're talking about ships in terms of coming against some place, you're talking about warships. And Turkey has a lot of them, and basically the ships of Turkey today. I think it's safe to say that. Today, Turkey represents the ships of Chittim. So let's go to the beginning of the places where we see this reference to this place where this particular word is going forth, where the Bible talks about this place. And the first place we see it is in Numbers 24. And this is the word of God. And its context is last day's context. Now, it was spoken by a reprobate prophet by the name of Balaam, but this guy Balaam was a prophet of God. He loved money more than he loved God, and he was reprobate. God told him no. Then the guy that offered him the money to do what God said he was not supposed to do upped the offer. So he asked God if God would change his mind about that, and God let him go. God let him go. And his donkey wouldn't go through this narrow passageway, because the donkey saw what was in the narrow passageway, an angel of God with a sword drawn to slay Balaam and his donkey. And Balaam started beating his donkey, who was in the midst of saving Balaam's life. Balaam started beating his donkey. So God opened the donkey's mouth and allowed the donkey to talk and tell him that if you go through that narrow passageway, that angel there is going to take your head off. And Balaam was so angry at his donkey that he didn't realize even that it was strange that a donkey could talk. But then God opened his eyes so they could see him. And then Balaam realized that he better do what God tells him to do. And kids, when they get an answer they don't like from mom, shouldn't go run and ask dad. But here's what Balaam said, which is the word of God, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. This is a word of God forever settled regarding the last days. Here's what he said. Balaam the son of Beor hath said, the man whose eyes are open hath said. He hath said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance by having his eyes open. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy the children of Seth, that's the third son of Adam. And Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. And Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall he come that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. And when he looked on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he shall perish forever. And he looked on the Kenites, and took up his parable, and said, strong is thy dwelling place, and thou puttest thy nest in a rock. Nevertheless, the Kenite shall be wasted until Asher shall carry thee away captive. And he took up his parable and said, alas, who shall live when God doeth this? That's a good question, because 2,000 million people are going to die in this great war that the Lord Jesus Christ told us about in Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13. Yes, 2,000 million, if I've done the math right in adding up the numbers regarding and related to that war in the book of Revelation, if I've done the math right, 2 billion people, one-third of the people now living on planet Earth, are going to die in this great tribulation war, which is fully set up, irreversible, and now unfolding before our very eyes. And who shall live when God doeth this? And ships shall come from the coast of Chittim. This place where this word is now going forth. Ships shall come from the coast of Chittim. Today, the ships of Chittim are the ships of Turkey. And shall afflict Asher. And I believe Turkey has received a green light from the U.S. State Department and its Muslim ineligible one, fraud in chief. Because Syria is a strange place. Bashar Assad is a Shiite. Vatican Roma put Muhammad in the religion business to kill people of the book, Jews and real Christians, real Bible-believing Christians. Muhammad was put in the religion business by the Vatican. He's Shiite. No! No, no, no! No, no, no. They want to claim him. But he's a Sunni! To this day, the Jesuits control the Sunni brand or vintage of Islam. But the Vatican didn't put the Shiites in business. Now, the Muslim definition of peace is this. When the Muslim Shiites and Sunnis get together and kill all the Jews and all the Christians and all the Buddhists and all the Hindus and all the atheists and all the agnostics, and there's only Muslims left, then the Shiites have got to kill the Sunnis, or the Sunnis have got to kill the Shiites. That's the Muslim definition of peace. When every human being on earth is dead. That is the Muslim Quran definition of peace. The problem with Islam is that Allah is Lucifer, Satan, the devil. That's the problem with Islam. And Christians have a duty to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, this word of God says, ships shall come from the coast of Chittim and shall afflict Asher and Eber, which means a region across. So, if you go across from Asher, and you go across from Asher all the way across the Jordan, you're in Syria. So just get a map. Take a line, draw a line from Chittim across through Asher and go on across, all the way across the Jordan, and you're in Syria. And the ships of Chittim today are Turkish ships, the ships of Turkey. Because the southern part of Cyprus, or Chittim, doesn't have any ships. And Turkey occupies the northern part of Chittim. So the ships of Chittim today, as we speak from Chittim, are Turkish ships going on to Asher, attacking apparently Israel, but then going on across Eber. Not just afflict Asher, but also Eber, and shall afflict Eber. You go across, draw that line from Cyprus, Chittim, straight across through Asher, and keep going on across, all the way across Jordan, you're in Syria. In Syria. Nobody likes what Bashar Assad is doing to the people of Syria. He's killing thousands of Syrians because he's a Shiite, like Iran. He's a Shiite. And Iran keeps him in business. He's a Shiite. And he represents only 10% of the population of Syria. There's as many Christians in Syria as there are Shiites. Now, the leader of the Sunni world today is Barack Hussein Obama. He's a Sunni Muslim. He was born a Sunni Muslim. Nobody knows where he was born, but that's irrelevant. His father was a Sunni Muslim. And his stepfather was a Sunni Muslim, and he's a Sunni Muslim. And the Sunni Muslims want to kill the Shiites for the Pope. They don't know they are doing it for the Pope, but that's really reality. So I believe Turkey has been given a green light, not necessarily to start a war with Israel, because the Sunni war with Israel, as well as the Shiite war with Israel, and the whole Islamic world is and has been since the founding of the modern state of Israel 90 years ago, are in a continuing state of war with Israel. So Turkey's not been given a green light to start a war with Israel. The war is ongoing. The war never stops unless disproportionate force is used to cause the Muslims to realize that they have to have a hudna, a temporary peace until they get stronger. But they can sure do it. But that the ships of Chittim, which is the ships of Turkey, would afflict not just Asher, but Eber, going on across, all the way across on that line from Chittim to Asher, all the way across Jordan. That is Syria. Eber, all the way across Jordan, which is Syria. Because how many Sunni Muslims do you think are coming across out of Syria and flooding into Turkey today? That's a real problem. That's a real problem. The next reference from Chittim is Isaiah 23:1, the burden of Tyre. How ye ships of Tarshish. This deals with the American ships, their carrier battle groups, which are sitting ducks. How ye ships of Tarshish, for it is laid waste so that there is no house, no entering in from the land of Chittim. It is revealed to them. And this word you now hear is revealed to you from Chittim. You take that however you want to take it, for whatever it's worth. And the next reference to this place where this word is coming to you from is Isaiah 23:12. And he said, thou shalt no more rejoice, O thou oppressed virgin daughter of Zidon. Arise, pass over to Chittim. There also shalt thou have no rest. This happened. Do you realize this happened in, I think, 2006? Remember when all of the refugees came here from Lebanon? Hundreds of thousands of them. We were here. We were able to minister to some of them. What's he talking about? Virgin daughter of Zidon. Okay, that's Lebanon. Lebanon used to be the Riviera, the French Riviera of the Middle East. It was a beautiful jewel of a Christian nation until Yasser Arafat set up shop there. And the Iranian army, Hezbollah, the Iranian Jihad army, Hezbollah, took over Lebanon. And he said, thou shalt no more rejoice. Lebanon has not rejoiced since World War II, since the 50s. Lebanon has not rejoiced. Lebanon has been in the midst of a Muslim takeover. A brutal, deadly, devastating Muslim takeover. And I think we witnessed firsthand with our own eyes the fulfillment of this during the last war when Israel was forced to go to war with the Hezbollah, who had taken over southern Lebanon after over 8,000 large missiles had been fired on the civilian population of northern Israel. About 8,000 rockets fired out of Zidon onto the civilian population of Israel. And Israel had to go into Lebanon again to deal with Iran's surrogate Hezbollah army, which has taken over this country called Lebanon. No way could Cyprus take care of all these people, but they did the best they could. And it was amazing how the people of Cyprus rose up and really did more for these people fleeing for their lives out of Lebanon than all the rest of the European Union combined, and they helped them on their way. They all came to Cyprus first before they could go anyplace else. And it was amazing how these people of Cyprus helped those people flee Zidon, Lebanon, at that time. This is a very literal fulfillment that we have seen with our own eyes, Betty. Behold, the land of the Chaldeans, that's Iraq. This people was not till the Assyrian founded it for them that dwell in the wilderness. They set up the towers thereof. They raised up the palaces thereof. And he brought it to ruin. And again we see it. Howl, ye ships of Tarshish, for your strength is laid waste. Okay. And today's king of Babylon, because his troops still occupy the country of Babylon, which became known as Mesopotamia or Iraq today, since World War I, it's been called Iraq, since the British Mandate at the end of World War I, when the Turkish Empire, which stretched all the way from West Africa all the way to China, was broken up. Now Edrigen, the fanatical Muslim Brotherhood, El Qaeda, Sunni Muslim, strongman, the strongest man among the Al Qaeda Muslim Brotherhood Sunni Muslims, is the Prime Minister of Turkey, who controls now the ships of Chittim that may very well be setting up to come against Syria. And I believe they do have a green light from the King of Babylon and Hillary and her U.S. State Department to take over Syria. Obama was put in the White House by money from Saudi Arabia, and all 535 Congress critters were obviously bought, as well as the 9 Supreme Court justices also having been bought. And Obama was put in the White House, the illegal one, who occupies the White House. This Sunni Muslim, the ineligible one, was put in there for two purposes: to destroy Israel and to destroy Iran, the strong Shiite nation. He had those two purposes. That's why he's there. People may not like that truth, but that's why he is there. But it doesn't sound like it's good news for anybody that the Muslim, the ineligible one, is in the White House and not in the jailhouse, because God said, "Howl, ye ships of Tarshish, for your strength is laid waste." And there is nothing more debilitating or taking the strength away from the ships of Tarshish like Barack Hussein Obama, the Muslim ineligible one, who has made it a law in America that there are 6 genders and not just 2. And it may not be able to be enforced in all the states right away, but he's enforcing it in the U.S. military. And it has destroyed the moral strength and character of the U.S. military. But howl, ye ships of Tarshish, for your strength is laid waste. Wow, it's quite revealing. Next reference to Chittim is found in Jeremiah 2:10. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see. We've been doing that for like 10 years now. And send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Well, I have considered it. Hath a nation changed their gods? Yes, yes, yes. America was founded as the only nation ever founded for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian religion. The most original founding document of America was the Mayflower Compact, and you can read it, it's short. But America was founded, and the first government document of this new nation, which eventually became the United States of America, is the Mayflower Compact. And in there it says, this nation was to be established for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian religion. A Christian nation, which is not a Christian nation. Since Obama's health care package went through, which exempts all Muslims, the United States is already under Islamic Sharia law. Now, they don't have sense enough to realize it yet, but they are already under Islamic Sharia law. Saudi Arabia got a very, very good deal with all their oil money to buy the White House and buy those 9 Supreme Court justices and those 535 Congress critters. They're all bought and paid for by Saudi oil money. All of them. Anyone that will not raise the eligibility issue has been bought and is dirty and has no business holding any elected office and perjures themselves by their oath of office, wherein they swore to protect and defend the Constitution. And there is no greater mockery of the U.S. Constitution than having the ineligible one occupy the White House and be commander-in-chief to totally sap and destroy the strength of the ships of Tarshish. Interesting. Now, here's the last and most interesting, I think, of the references to Chittim. And it's in Daniel chapter 11. And this is the one I'm praying about. And it deals with the Antichrist. Now, Obama is an Antichrist. The Pope is an Antichrist. Any head of any government on planet Earth today is an Antichrist. But there is a personality who is the Antichrist. And he is the first beast. And the Pope is the positional second beast, false prophet of the Antichrist. Let's read this whole section of Daniel chapter 11. And remember, as you look at this section of Daniel chapter 11, which is one of the most difficult sections of Scripture for understanding, but the easy way to keep it straight is remember that whoever controls Rome is the king of the north, and whoever controls Egypt is the king of the south, okay? And that will help you in understanding chapter 11. Whoever controls Rome is the king of the north, and whoever controls Egypt is the king of the south. Let's go through Daniel chapter 11. Now, there has been a historic fulfillment of this, but the greatest fulfillment of this is the last days. So let's just read chapter 11 in Daniel. Also I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, the Iraqi, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. And now I will show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, Iran, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all, and by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. And a mighty king shall stand up, that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not to his posterity nor according to his dominion which he ruled. For his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others besides those. And the king of the south shall be strong, and one of his princes, and he shall be strong above him, and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion, and in the end of years, ding, 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 and in the end of years, when is that? That's now. This is last day's prophecy. Now, we have seen a literal fulfillment of this in history, but like so many prophecies that have had historical fulfillments, they have even greater last day's fulfillment. God is a big enough God to take the same words which have had an exact historical fulfillment and use those same words to give instruction to his people in the last days and an even greater fulfillment, and every bit as accurate as the previous historic fulfillment. Don't miss this, child of God. And in the end of years, they shall join themselves together, for the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement, but he shall not retain the power of the arm, neither shall he stand nor his arm, but he shall be given up, and they that brought her, and he that begat her, and he that strengthened her in these times. But out of a branch of her roots shall one stand up in his estate, which shall come with an army, and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north. He shall deal against them, and shall prevail, and shall also carry captives into Egypt their gods, with their princes and with their precious vessels of silver and gold, and he shall continue more years than the king of the north. So the king of the south shall come into his kingdom, and shall return into his own land, but his sons shall be stirred up, and shall assemble a multitude of great forces, and one shall certainly come, and overflow, and pass through, and he shall return, and be stirred up, even to his fortress. And the king of the south shall be moved with choler, and he shall come forth and fight with him, even the king of the north, and shall set forth a great multitude, but the multitude shall be given into his hand, and when he hath taken away the multitude, his heart shall be lifted up, and he shall cast down many 10,000s, but he shall not be strengthened by it. For the king of the north shall return, and shall set forth a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come after certain years with a great army and with much riches. And in those times there shall be many stand up against the king of the south. Also the robbers of thy people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision, but they shall fall. So the king of the north shall come, and cast up a mount, and take the most fenced cities, and the arms of the south shall not withstand, neither his chosen people, neither shall there be any strength to withstand. But he that cometh against him shall do according to his own will, and none shall stand before him. And he shall stand in the glorious land, which by his hand shall be consumed. He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom, and upright ones with him. Thus shall he do. And he shall give him the daughter of women, corrupting her, but he shall not stand on his side, neither be for him. After this shall he turn his face unto the isles, and shall take many, but the prince for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. Without his own reproach he shall cause it to turn upon him. And he shall turn his face toward the fort of his own land, but he shall stumble and fall, and not be found. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom, but within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably, and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully. For he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. He shall enter peaceably, even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches, yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time. And he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army. And the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with very great and mighty army, but he shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against him. Yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow. And many shall fall down slain. And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table. But it shall not prosper. For yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Then shall he return into his own land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant. And he shall do exploits and return to his own land. At the time appointed he shall return and come toward the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter, for the ships of Chittim. And today, that's Turkey. For the ships of Chittim shall come against him, and therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. And his arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice. And they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Hallelujah, child of God, saints scattered abroad. This word you hear from Chittim is that it's exploit time. If you're in full submission to God, have found His grace in repentance, and are walking in the fear of the Lord and the faith of the one whose name is called the Word of God, who has been given all authority, all of it, in heaven and in earth, it will be exploit time for you. And such as do wickedly against the covenant. They forsake the first commandment in the I am that I am, he told Moses. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The first commandment. They forsake it. For the sake of tolerance, they forsake it. And no commandment can be kept unless the first commandment is kept. 613 in the Old Testament, or 800 in the New Testament. None of them can be kept without that first commandment being kept. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Then all that's left is Antichrist papal religion of tolerance, where only people of the book will not be tolerated. Those who will not forsake the covenant will not be tolerated. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Saints, it's exploit time. Seek his grace while it may yet be found. Do your homework in these days of awe. Seek his grace, evidenced in repentance. And pray that sealing angel doesn't pass you by. Because if that sealing angel seals us in the fullness of his power and authority, it's exploit time. And it'll be a glorious run to glory. in these last days for those who will not do wickedly against the covenant, who cannot be corrupted by flatteries, who really know their God, they're going to be strong and do exploits. The works that I do, Jesus said, shall you do also. And greater works than these shall you do because they go to the Father. John 14:12. That's exploit time. We're coming into that time. Yeah. So when you see these things come to pass, don't let it scare you. Let it motivate you to press into the Word. The King is coming. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.